Time now for Dial-A-Doc, and that takes us to FHN. Joining us this morning, it's Dr. and family nurse practitioner, Dr. Elizabeth Mendelhoff. Good morning, Doctor. How are you this morning?
Good morning. I'm great. Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're very welcome. Nice to have you with us, and what a beautiful day outside. My goodness.
It's gorgeous.
And with that, I'm sure some kids get nervous. School's going to be starting in a while, and that means folks will be getting back to their scheduled vaccinations for their students. Now, Doctor, some people don't feel they should be required to vaccinate their children. There are situations where vaccinations might not be a good idea. Can you give us your thoughts and feelings on this?
Well, I totally understand that parents want to do what's best for their children, and one of the best things a parent can do to keep their child healthy is to immunize them against vaccine-preventable illnesses. There are actually very few reasons to not vaccinate a child. Children who are moderately or severely ill should wait until they feel better before they get their vaccines, and anyone who has had a severe allergic reaction to a vaccine should not get another dose of that vaccine. But in general, healthcare providers will screen for contraindications, and vaccines can safely be given.
All right. What are the common vaccinations required for school children in younger grades?
Well, there's no changes in school vaccine requirements this year. Children entering school need to be current on their tetanus and whooping cough vaccines, as well as hepatitis, chickenpox, polio, measles, mumps, and rubella. 6th and 12th graders may need some boosters, as well as vaccination against meningitis. Vaccinations that are not required but strongly recommended include the HPV cancer vaccine and an annual flu shot in the fall.
One of the most widespread concerns has been around, and I'm not even sure if I can say this, thimerosal-containing vaccines.
Oh, the thimerosal.
Thimerosal.
Okay, yes. That is a rough one.
That is a tough one. It can cause autism or learning disorders. What has research shown about this, Doctor?
Well, Dan, numerous independent studies have shown that there is absolutely no link between vaccines and autism. We have safely given hundreds of millions of doses of vaccines to children all over the world for decades. Now, nothing we do is without risk, but getting autism from a vaccine is not one of them.
And you hear that sometimes, and it's great that you can get the word out that that does not happen. Maybe circling back a little bit to our first question, Doctor, about parents not want to vaccinate their children. Do people call and ask, or will a school call and say, hey, we've got some kids that their parents do not want them to get vaccinations? Did you get a chance to talk to people to say how it's kind of good for the better whole, or that's just not a conversation that can happen?
Oh, no, absolutely. That's a conversation that can and should happen. Anyone who has questions or concerns about vaccines should talk to, I would recommend their primary care provider is a great go-to person, is a reliable source for accurate information about vaccine concerns.
All right. Great answer. Thank you. Because I know a lot of people have questions on that. Moving on, one of the vaccinations for older kids that's spurred a lot of conversation is the HPV vaccine. What is HPV virus?
Well, HPV stands for the human papillomavirus. There are hundreds of strains of HPV, and many of them simply cause common warts, like we might get on our hands and feet. However, certain strains of this virus are the cause of cervical and other types of cancers.
Now, how is that spread?
Well, HPV is actually very common, and we can come into contact with it, and our immune systems would clear it from our bodies before we even know we had it, and we never have a problem with it. Sometimes, though, a high-risk HPV strain isn't cleared by our immune system, and a cancer can develop later. The HPV strains that I'm talking about here are spread through intimate contact.
Okay, and what future health issues does the HPV vaccine help prevent?
Well, the HPV vaccine is actually a cancer vaccine. We know that nearly every abnormal pap smear, and nearly every incident, I should say, of cervical cancer is caused by a high-risk strain of HPV. Other cancers that are on the rise, such as oropharyngeal cancers, may also be prevented by this vaccine. And I'd like to mention today that Australia is projected to be the first country in the world to eradicate cervical cancer because of the HPV cancer vaccine, and I would certainly love to see that happen here.
What a wonderful thing. Can you see some of their charts or how they managed to pull that off? Is that something that's available to other medical places in other places in the world?
Well, what Australia did was that they made it so readily available, they actually started offering the vaccines in their school-based clinics. So, and it's a vaccine that is more widely accepted in Australia for some reason, and the statistics have shown that they've had a steady decline in cervical cancers and other related types of cancers over the past 10 years.
Well, that's fabulous. What's the right age for an HPV vaccination?
Well, the recommended age to give the HPV cancer vaccine is between ages 11 to 12 when the child's immune system is at its peak. However, it can be given as early as 9 and throughout the teenage years, well into the 20s.
Now, it's recommended for both boys and girls, Doctor. Why is that?
Well, guys can get some of the cancers caused by the high-risk HPV strain, so we really shouldn't just focus on the benefits of this cancer vaccine for girls because guys need protection, too.
And it can spread then if they are not protected and girls are. Makes sense.
Yes, absolutely.
We're talking with Dr. Elizabeth Mendelhoff, family nurse practitioner at FHN with Dial-A-Doc today. And students entering their senior year of high school, Doctor, in Illinois, required to have cognitive vaccination. I'll let you say that word. Why is that?
Meningococcal.
Yeah, I don't think I'd get that all day. What is that and why is that important?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, 11 to 12-year-olds should be vaccinated with a meningococcal vaccine, and a booster dose is recommended and required by the school at age 16. Meningitis is caused by a type of bacteria, and it can lead to an infection that can quickly become life-threatening, and that's why it's important to vaccinate children against this illness.
Now, I'm guessing that not only are vaccinations very important, in particular for children, but normal visits are important for everyone, aren't they? Because you can detect things before it gets too deep into something going on with you. I would assume you recommend normal visits on at least a yearly
absolutely.
Basis. Yeah, because you
absolutely.
Can catch stuff.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Oh, yeah. Well, and preventing illness is a big part of staying healthy.
Another immunization that has some conversation around it is for hepatitis. Now, what is the requirement for that and why is it required?
Well, there's several types of hepatitis, but we only have vaccines for type A and B. Each of these viruses is different, but the diseases they cause are similar. Hepatitis causes liver inflammation, and it can be serious or even life-threatening. Illinois has actually required hepatitis vaccination for entry to school for over 2 decades now.
Is there a difference between hepatitis and hepatitis C?
There is, and we don't have a vaccine for hepatitis C. Actually, that's the one where they do have a cure for hepatitis C. They are similar illnesses, but caused by different strains of the hepatitis virus.
Okay. Just a few more questions for you, Doctor, and it's a nice firing question away at and getting great answers. What about flu shots for students?
Well, everyone ages 6 months and older should get a flu shot in the fall. Every year, thousands of people get influenza, and many of them, including children, become seriously ill. Now, the flu shot isn't perfect, but it is our best protection from this illness.
And again, it's for the greater good that people should get that, correct?
Exactly. Do you get yours?
I do. And,
good answer.
Thank you. Well, that's my doctor makes me every time I go in. He goes, you need to do this. All right.
Need your flu shot.
Yeah, well, and we should all think more towards everybody, not just ourselves. It helps everyone when you get that
good
flu
point.
Shot. All right. If people
good
have concerns
point.
About HPV vaccinations, Doctor, or any type of vaccinations, where can they find out more?
Well, as I mentioned before, I really encourage parents or anyone who's getting vaccines to ask questions. If they have questions, if they have concerns, their primary care provider is a great go-to person for accurate and reliable information.
And this one might be kind of a similar answer, but how can people make an appointment for immunizations?
Well, if your child's due for vaccines, they should see their primary care provider, or they can go to the local health department. That's another option for getting vaccines. But I recommend that they don't wait too long to make an appointment, because August is a very busy month as families are preparing to go back to school.
I'm guessing the sooner you call, the more choices you have, and vice versa.
Exactly.
All right. We've been talking with Dr. Elizabeth Mendelhoff, family nurse practitioner at FHN and Dial-A-Doc today. Thanks so much for giving us some of your time and answering some questions. I'm sure a lot of people out there were wondering, Doctor. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Dan.
Take care.
Have a good day.
I will. You too. That's FHN and Dial-A-Doc.